12 minutes after 10 o'clock. Dear Prudence by the Beatles. It actually kind of connects very well with my next guest. My next guest is Susan Chomsky. She's authored a number of books, I should say. A lot of them having to deal with understanding, divine revelation, the power of chakras. But most recently, Maharishi and Me, Seeking Enlightenment with the Beatles Guru. Susan Chomsky is the author. She joins me this morning. Susan, we'll go back and talk here just a little bit about the connection to Dear Prudence. But first of all, good morning. Welcome to the show here on WCCO. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for inviting me to the show.
You know, I guess probably on any given day, if somebody asked you how you were, you'd say you were great, right?
Yes, I either say great or excellent.
And I suppose a lot of that comes from the way that you live your life. TM, or Transcendental Meditation, is a big part of your life. It's a lot of what we learned at the time. I mean, whether we learned it ourselves, but we learned what the Beatles were doing with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi some 50 years ago. But you make that a part of your life.
I make meditation a part of my life, yes. And I'm very dedicated to my spiritual life, yes.
So tell me about the time here and what you know about the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. I believe we're coming up on what would have been his 100th birthday. Is that correct? Did I read that somewhere?
Yes, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's 100th birthday was January of this year. And it's been exactly 50 years since the Beatles visited Maharishi Mahesh Yogi in Rishikesh, India. And George Harrison's 75th birthday is coming up this Sunday. So this is a very timely interview.
Yeah, and yesterday, I believe, the anniversary of the release of the Beatles' White Album.
That would be November 22nd.
Oh, November 22nd. I'm sorry. You're right. November 22nd. That's coming up. This week, I think this week marks, Sergeant Pepper, I do believe. I got to double check that. But so tell me, how did the Beatles first connect with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi?
It was Patty Boyd, who was George Harrison's wife. She saw an ad in the Times of London, a small classified ad about a lecture on transcendental meditation. And she went and she learned, she and a girlfriend of hers, they learned TM in February of 1967. And she had wonderful experiences, and she told her husband, George, about it. And then George said, well, I want to have my mantra, you know, like that. I want my mantra. So when George found out that Maharishi was going to be speaking at the Hilton Hotel on August 24th of 1967, he got tickets for all the Beatles and their wives. They all trooped over to the Hilton. Ringo did not go, however, because his wife had just had a baby. So he didn't show up, but the rest of the Beatles showed up. And then they were very favorably impressed during Maharishi's lecture. And then after the lecture, they met Maharishi backstage, and they told him that they were really very interested in developing their spiritual life, and that they had tried LSD and other psychedelic drugs, but that didn't really work for them. Obviously, they were not really getting what they wanted. And Maharishi invited them to come the very next day to a retreat he was teaching in Bangor, North Wales. That was on August 25th, 1967. They all went to the train station, in fact, and took public transportation, which the Beatles never did, but in this occasion, they took a train with Maharishi up to Bangor in North Wales, and they stayed in a college called Normal College, and they were initiated. In other words, they learned TM up there from Maharishi, and they were intended to stay on the retreat for 10 days, but they ended up only staying 2 days because, unfortunately, Brian Epstein died. He had taken an overdose, and he died 2 days later. Mm. So they had to return to London. But they continued to promote TM. They were very, very keen on it. And they were promoting it all over the media, like on the David Frost program and other places. They were defending it when people attacked it. So they were very, very keen on meditation, and they loved the experience, and they wanted to promote it. I mean, they really wanted to set up a meditation academy in London and so on.
Chatting with Susan Shumsky, who has written Maharishi and Me. So, Susan, help me understand the difference between someone who just meditates and what becomes transcendental meditation.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different forms of meditation. A transcendental meditation was a specific technique that was founded by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And before Maharishi came to the United States in 1959, there was no meditation, there was no mantra, there was no yoga. These things simply didn't exist. Transcendental meditation, what he was specifically teaching, is a very simple meditation technique where you sit down, close your eyes, and you then repeat a sound in your mind. In other words, you think this mantra, which is a sound, and that takes you away from the outer world into the inner world, takes you from the surface level of the mind deep within to a state of deep relaxation and deep peace. So it works. You know, it's a great method. Anyone can do it, and it actually works. And that's why it became so popular and Maharishi became so famous in the 1960s and 1970s.
I should make clear, too, that, you know, the book is obviously Maharishi and Me is a lot more than just the connection with the Beatles. But the celebrity part of it, you have to admit, is the most interesting part. And not just the Beatles, but the likes of Donovan, who I remember very well. And Mia Farrow got involved. I played earlier when you were coming on Dear Prudence. And there was definitely a connection there, because while the Beatles were at the Rishikesh Ashram, They wrote some music, and Dear Prudence is one of those songs that came from that time. Do you want to explain the background on that just a bit?
Sure, I'd be glad to explain it. So the course participants, they were taking a teacher training course, and they were increasing their meditations as they were going along on the course. And then at one point, Maharishi said that the course participants could just stay in their room and meditate all the time. And John and George were meditating up to 8 hours. In fact, the Beatles were competing as to how long they were meditating. And they were meditating 8 hours a day. But Prudence Farrow, who is Mia Farrow's sister, she was very keen on meditation. She had already been meditating for 3 years, since 3 years before she came to Rishikesh. And so she went into her room and didn't come out and didn't even touch the food that was being left at her door. So people got concerned, and John Lennon was assigned to just look in and make sure she was okay. And she was very, very obsessed with meditation and wouldn't come out. So that's the reason why this song was written, you know, Dear Prudence, won't you come out to play? Green's a brand new day. Sun is up, sky is blue. You know, open up your eyes, and so on. So she actually expressed that the Beatles, John and George, came into her room. They actually burst into her room, and they were singing Obla Dee Obla Da, and they were singing Sgt. Pepper's. But she doesn't have any recollection of them ever singing Dear Prudence to her. In fact, she didn't even find out about the song until, as the Beatles were leaving, George told her about it.
Very, very interesting story. I mean, when you think about that. And there was other music that came from that time as well. And I think that's what a lot of us find interesting. You mentioned, I think, Doug Henning. The Beach Boy, Mike Love, was very present at that time at Rishikesh. But, you know, when you mentioned the Beatles had told Maharishi that they had tried LSD, they're seeking some enlightenment or whatever. They didn't find it through the drugs. When you got to Rishikesh, drugs were not a part of that scene at all, were they? Not at least originally they were not.
Well, drugs were definitely not allowed on the ashram grounds, drugs, alcohol, any of that. However, the Beatles and some people in the Beatles party did smuggle in drugs and alcohol. So they were doing things that were not allowed on the ashram grounds.
Maharishi was a very, I mean, above all else, he was a very gentleman, as I recall hearing him interviewed and things. He was a very gentleman, and he had that very distinct giggle when asked certain questions.
Yeah, the reporters dubbed him the giggling guru because he did laugh all the time. In fact, he was the happiest person I ever met, and I spent 22 years in his ashrams and 6 years on his personal staff, so I got to know him very, very well. And he was an extraordinary person, so joyous and exuded this tremendous energy and laugh and effervescence. It was really a privilege to be around him. It was so amazing to be in his presence. I think anyone who ever met him personally would say that about him.
Yeah, so tell me this, because you had the connection. Maharishi had a school for teaching in Fairfield, Iowa. You were a part of that organization at the time. Why did you end up leaving the organization? Can you share that?
Yes, actually, in the 1980s, I became quite disillusioned with the organization because it became so strict. It became more and more and more strict as time went on. It was really almost unbearable. However, I still loved the meditation practice. I went to the dome, what they call the Golden Dome, where we practice the group meditation there. And I always had wonderful experiences with TM and loved the practice, but there was just so much kind of oppression. For example, the MIU library banned all books that were not official TM books. Any spiritual books that were not written by Maharishi, for example. I mean, it just became very strange and just too much to bear, actually.
Well, there is so much in this book, Maharishi and Me, and we're only able to scratch the surface on it here, but a lot. And again, I think many of us find the connection with the celebrities most intriguing. You've got some great images, some great color photos in the middle of the book of the time at Rishikesh and other locations and all the people that were there and a part of it, Susan. So thank you so much for sharing just a little bit more of it. Maybe we've piqued some curiosity out here. Maharishi and Me, Seeking Enlightenment with the Beatles Guru, Susan Shumsky, the author. And I'm going to spell that S-H-U-M-S-K-Y. Somebody asked me about that the other day. When you have an author on, can you spell the name? Because it's easier to track you down that way. So I'll do that.
That's true.
Susan, thanks for the visit this morning on WCCO.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed it. It was my pleasure.
You have a great day.
You too.
Take care. I was talking about the music that was written there. Here's another song that John Lennon wrote. I think John Lennon wrote this at the time that they were there in 1968.